But the immediate effect that the word will have on us is directly dependent on what kind of attention we give to it. Then there's a long-term effect. There's almost a osmosis effect. There's a impartation effect that the word has. There's a kingdom effect. When the word is spoken, when people get up and they share something that the Spirit's inspiring them to share, it looses the kingdom. We're in the dimension right now of God's kingdom. Let thy kingdom come on earth today as it is in heaven. And if the kingdom is not loose dimensionally to us, we're not in it, and therefore we can't receive of the word of the kingdom. And that's the spiritual mystery. That's the mystery Dylan's talking about, the mystery of the Holy Ghost. The mystery of the Holy Ghost working in and upon us doesn't happen in the dimension of the world. It's not in the dimension of worldliness. When you are in the dimension of worldliness, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit. That's what James says. They're contrary, so that you cannot receive the things that you should. So the kind of the response of last week is really good here, because it's this principle that comes out of Isaiah. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you turn to the right hand or to the left, you'll know the right way. The Spirit, that voice of your instruction, if you have received it, that word becomes engrafted to us. It's engrafted. It's imparted to our spirit man, so that the word can speak to us whether we're with people or not. The word can speak to us and direct us. How important do you think that's going to be for your kids when you're not with them? What keeps them? Well, you'll say the Lord will keep them. How will He keep them? He'll keep them through the word that they have heard that's been engrafted to their spirit and their soul. Religion doesn't graft. Religion is not graft. Religion's actually offensive to any moral agent who's connected in life and time and space. Religion is offensive. Religion is an opium. It's a drug. It takes you out of consciousness, a consciousness state, and puts you into some other state of well-being that really has very little to do with reality. You get slapped by somebody at work, or your mom slaps you, or your dad. And in your inner man, you go, Jesus loves me. That's a good religious experience. What if the Lord's slapping you? Oh, He would never do that. Good news for modern man. But it says, verse 22 then, it says, verse 21 says, you'll hear this sound behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. get a hold of verse 22. You shall defile your worldly coverings. You shall defile the covering of your graven images of silver, ornaments and molten images of gold. You shall cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thank you for that illustration, Lord. Thank you for that picture. See, that's maybe offensive to the religious mind. That's for religious people who need a little shock of reality. I won't continue in that vein. I have other things that I can say about that. But look what it says. Basically, it says, you will defile your worldly coverings that you use to feel comforted and be covered by. You will do it. And you'll cast it away, but that's not all. When you cast it away, you'll speak to it. I wonder how many people have been taught that. When you get rid of your worldly coverings, you'll not just throw it in the trash. You'll not just put it away. As you do it, you'll speak to it. And you'll say, get thee hence. Get out of here and never come back. Why would you speak that to a picture of maybe a nude woman or a picture of a graven image or a picture of somebody in the family that was just wretched and ungodly that has been passed to you through your generational family, grandfather's pipe? Why would you say that to an inanimate object? Why would you say that to a picture? Why would you say that to something that you're getting rid of, that you see as a worldly covering, as a worldly crutch? Why would you speak to it?
There's a spirit behind it.
Yeah, because it's a spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's taking a little far, Brother Sullivan. Well, if you've got a Bible, just scratch that part out. Get your black marker out. Just can't put that, cross it out. Don't speak to it. That'll work for you. Then, there's all, how many of you know there's always a reward for obedience? Then, meaning after this, after you've spoken and cast it out and tore down your worldly reliance and covering, then shall he give the rain of your seed that you sow the ground withal. Basically, what is he saying? Then will he bless your works. Feel like your works aren't blessed? Ask the Holy Ghost to show you what needs to go. What are you leaning on? Now, I don't really like to talk about first fruits, so I will. Well, I'll give my first fruits when I can afford it. Guess what? No rain on your seed. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Turn to Isaiah 58. Now I want to just talk a little bit about our season. I feel like even though we only did like four jumps and five programs, that it was really a great season. And in many respects, in some respects, it was it was probably as good, if not better, than any season we've done. And the reason I say that is because the unity and the commitment of everybody seems to, and the anointing of everybody seems to have just gone up a notch this year. I mean, when you think about it, the men went to North Platte. Then next week, most all the men and the women went to Gunnison, Colorado. And then a few, 2 weeks later, all the men went to Lamar, which everybody had to sacrifice to do that. And the Gunnison and Lamar programs were sparsely attended. But the anointing wasn't sparse.
Yes.
And you know what? We all like numbers. We all feel more successful, if you want to use that word, when more people come to an event. Somehow it makes us feel like we did a better job. But if you had 1,000 people come, like a good example was in Missoula 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we packed the stadium. There were over 3,000 people there. And the offering buckets, we never took an offering. We didn't take an offering, but we always had the offering buckets out there. Everybody, by the way, had a program. And two people gave into the offering bucket out of 3,000 people. Somebody should be going, excuse me, I didn't hear that. Two people gave out of over 3,000 people, two people put into the, and we had six or seven offering buckets out there all across the front of the grandstand. Two people put into the offering bucket. And I'll tell you what else was, I'd say at least 60% of the crowd were Christians. Probably more. They were applauding things that were said. They were applauding the word of the Lord. They were right there. So, take that program and then go to a program where there's 45 people show up. Well, we got a bigger offering from 45 people than we did for 3,000. And out of those 3,000, there wasn't very many people came forward for prayer, for special prayer. I would say certainly less than 10. And I'm thinking probably more like 5 in Missoula. In Lamar, I'd say close to 90% of the people there came forward for prayer. 90%. Which was the better program? You see what I'm saying? How do you judge that? If you're just working off of percentages, it's off the hook then. But that's not our thing anyway. Really, you know, our job is to set the table. And I want to explain what our job is. And we've read this many times, but I want to show you a few things about Isaiah 58. Because this is what we've been given to do. This is actually what every Christian's given to do. But this is individually and corporately what we're called to. And if you... Did you receive the blessing of Isaiah 30? if you judge and cast out your worldly coverings and reliances, He will give your seed rain and He'll bless you. Now, what's the message there? The message is, son, daughter, the things that you trust in that are worldly, that you think are providing for you, I will show you that I will take care of you much better than they ever will, but you have to have faith enough to cast them out. And if you cast them out, I'll take care of you perpetually and forever. Okay, that's the message of Isaiah 30. This is the voice you'll hear behind you. Walk this way. This is the way. Stop trusting in worldliness. Okay, we got that blessing. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 58. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. To deal your bread to the hungry, to bring in the poor that are cast out into your house, to cover the naked, and to hide not yourself from your own flesh. Now guess what? Guess what this doesn't say fasting is for? Why do most Christians fast? To get something. To become more spiritual. To hear from God. I'm sorry, that's not in here. He says the fast that I've chosen for you is that you fast for the sake of somebody else. That's a revelation. Oh, I thought Christianity was for me. To make me a better person. To bless my life. To keep me from hell and to give me eternal life. And to give me my own mansion. Hallelujah. Yeah. That works for all you independent souls.
Yeah.
You're suffering here on earth, connected to the body of Christ, so you can live by yourself in heaven with your own mansion forever. I asked Glenn, I says, so Glenn, why do you want to sing? Why do you want to go into the ministry? You know, Glenn, last week, Glenn. He said, because it makes me feel good. He said, don't you feel good when you preach? I said, so you preach and you sing and you want to do the ministry so because it makes you feel good. He says, yeah.
Whoops.
I said, that's why it ain't working for you. I said, it's not about feeling good. Yeah.
Wasn't working out very well for him.
Now, we're to loose, we're to undo heavy burdens, we're to let the oppressed go free, we're to break every yoke, we're to give our bread, we're to be givers, we're to bring people in, we're to cover them with God's covering, and we're to expose ourselves to them. Did you get that one? Then, oh, there's another then. These thens are pretty good. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. Your health will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go in front of you, and the glory of the Lord shall protect your rear. I don't think you need any more than that. But in case you do, there's more. Then you shall call upon the Lord and He'll answer you. That'd be a novelty of an experience, wouldn't it? Answered prayer? Is there such a thing?
Yes.
Does God speak to us? Does the Holy Spirit even speak to you, little girl? Will he speak to our heart and comfort us and make us know that he loves us and that he's watching over us? How about that, Esther? Will he do that? You shall cry, and he'll say, I'm here. If, you probably get your black pencils out, because you might want to mark this off. Or you might want to circle if. If is kind of a conditional word. You can drop the kind of. If you take away from the midst of you your yoke. You know how many preachers put people in bondage every time they open their mouth? They yoke them with some bondage that they have to do. You know why? Because the preacher's yoked. He's never been free from his own bondage. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, what's that? Judging others and blaming others. And speaking vanity, what's that? Worldly, vain, stupid, nothing talk. How about them cowboys? I mean, you know, not there's nothing wrong with talking about things that go on in our little world, but what's important? What's meaningful?
The issues of life.
The issues of life. And if you draw out your soul. Oh, that's a... Now, this is a big one. If you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul by drawing your soul out unto them. That's the bottom line. Are you willing to draw out your soul to people? Are you willing to give your heart to people? And this goes back to exposing yourself. Hide not yourself from your own flesh. What's that mean? It means they're open with their sin, you're not with yours. Exposing yourself. Drawing out your soul to them, because how is food digested? With the enzymes and the digestive fluids in your stomach. How is the Word of God digested into our life, into our soul, so that we can receive it? It's the Word of God is first what? Pure. Then what?
Peaceable.
Easy to be entreated. You ever bite down on something that was rancid?
Yeah.
That's not too easily entreated, is it? The Word of God is broken down for us through the experience and personal testimony of the one who's given it. That's what makes it real. That's what we do. That's what Jump for Jesus is. That's what we do. This is really what we do. Yeah. Isaiah 58 is what we're doing.
Yeah. And you know, that Isaiah 58, that reminds me of the Luke 14, because it talks about setting a table. It says, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends or your brother or your kinsmen or your rich neighbors, lest they bid thee again and recompense be made thee. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the blamed, or the blind and the lame, and you shall be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, and you shall be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
So,
and I was thinking about this scripture in Isaiah, and he says, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, make your bones fat like a water
jar. Yeah, I'm getting to that.
And all that.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. If you draw out your soul, if you're open and willing to be broken bread for others, that's what Jesus was. Jesus was broken bread for us. You know, most of the world and even a big part of the church sees his sacrifice as some physical thing he did. The physical sacrifice was the lesser of everything that he did. Paul even said it. Those men that have died for a just cause, given up their life, losing his physical life was the smallest part of what he did. There's so much more of a mystery to his drawing out his soul. That's what he did. He drew out his soul to the hungry. He emptied himself. He divested himself of the righteousness and holiness of God continually, every day. And if you do this, the Lord shall guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in tough times. He'll keep your bones strong and healthy. And that just speaks to your physical body. He'll keep you physically strong and healthy. You'll be like a watered garden. And like a spring, like a water spring. And your waters won't fail. Isn't that what Jesus told the woman at the well?
Yep.
I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. And the water that I give you will be in you, in your belly, as a river flowing. Continually. So, our little mission that we're on, you know, next year, we're already working on some things for next year. It's possible that we'll go back to Lamar. That he wants us back. It's possible we'll do Canyon City, which is 130 miles west. The prison city that I jumped in 1980-81. Colorado State Pens there. Meeker has already booked us for 4th July weekend. Deer Lodge, we, on our little scouting trip, we sat down with an evangelical free pastor. And he was interested. He took down a bunch of notes and he's going to present Jump for Jesus to the Ministerial Alliance in Deer Lodge. And that date is pretty much, unless they have a special date, that we can pretty much set that date ourselves. We're probably going to do Evel Knievel Days again, feel like we should. Talk to the mall manager, and they're just thrilled with everything that we do, and we can do whatever we want to do. I thought about jumping next year. Doing another jump in Butte next year. I'm also considering maybe going back to Rifle. I mean, we had some people in Rifle wondering why we didn't show up this year. And the lady that heads up the parade was one of them that asked me why we didn't come back down. So, you know, it's... and I don't really know what else at this point, but
well, you're going to be on TBN on the 20th.
Well, yeah, and then as probably most of you know, the stunt format theme show Life, praise the Lord, is October 20th. It's a Thursday. And we'll be going out for that.
And then the guy, what's his name, that wants you to go on the
Ed. Yeah, I thought I'd tell you this too. Thanks, Sonny. Remember Ed Beckley?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Big Ed that was here?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, he wants to start jumping again for his truck. He promotes these monster truck shows. And he wants to do like a little jump with on a Harley just as a novelty thing and to kind of get back and do something and add something to his program. And I kind of wondered if he might not call me and want me to be involved in that. There's really nobody in the stunt world at this point that could help him and kind of help coordinate for him the way I could. But so I never said anything to him, but he called me and he wants me to coordinate his jumps and to basically take care of that end of the program, where he'd fly me in, pay my expenses, pay me something, and have me coordinate and basically produce that part of the show, which would be, it would be the, we'd set up during the intermission, and he'd be the first act after the intermission. Fly in, do the thing, and then there's six or eight events that he's wanting, talking to me about. And it would be January through probably half of March is when they do these things.
I have something I want to.
So that's something in the making. I don't know quite yet. But that would be, and he's also talking to me about incorporating Jump for Jesus, trying to figure out how to do Jump for Jesus, bringing it into his act. In other words, he's wanting to give the Lord glory. He really got touched when he was here. I mean, he put my prayer on his Facebook. The prayer that I prayed, he put it on his Facebook. It's going to thousands. It's the guy is really got touched when he was here. What else do you want to say?
I want to stand up and say something.
Go ahead.
I thought of something especially to say to maybe Kayleen and you younger kids. You know, I got a revelation this morning when I was on the phone with Jeannie, and I actually was thinking about that song. I thought maybe Dan could even sing it for us. That one that goes, "What will you say when you stand before him?" Or "What will he say when you stand before him? What will he say when you call his name?" So I grew up in a family where I couldn't talk to anybody. You know, when he was talking about that scripture that says, if you draw your soul to the hungry. Well, I never had anybody. There's a scripture that says to know and be known by him. I never had any adults or siblings that let them know me. And I didn't let them know me. They didn't let me know them. I never had that in my life. I had a family full of psychology, leaning on their own understanding, and they all lived in their head. And I grew up in that environment where nobody was personal. So I was a hiding liar. So I never talked to any adults about the things that bothered me. I couldn't even really hear the voice of God. And this simple thing came to me after I got off the phone with Jeannie. There's a scripture that says, many shall say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, I did that in your name, depart from me, I never knew you. And I started thinking about, you know, what is it to know God? It's like it totally came to me because I brought a DVD to give to everybody. Make sure you get one, Alice has them. But, you know, it came to me about knowing God, Sarah, is that little voice in us that tells us the right thing to do. That little spiritual irritation when we say things we shouldn't, when we do things we shouldn't. That's all the voice of God in us trying to talk to us to get us to go down the path of blessing rather than the path of curses. So I got raped when I was 14 years old. I sat on a bus step and cried for 3 hours, never told anybody, never came to me to call the cops, never even dawned on me that I should tell my mother. And then, after I meet Michael and he committed a crime, I had a thought that I should tell the FBI guys were there because they thought they'd have the crime solved. But at one point, I thought of Michael's name. It's like that, again, that still small voice. It's like God was always trying to get to know me as a kid. Don't do this. Don't say that. Say you're sorry. Don't steal. And if you steal, talk to somebody. If you lie, talk to somebody. I never talked to anybody about the things that troubled me about my own self. Do you understand that, Sarah? You have that in your mom and dad. It's such a blessing. And you know what came to me is that's why he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's the people that reject that voice that tells me to love Susie or draw out my soul for, you know, there's a voice of love and faith, and there's a voice of selfishness and self-protection and lying and hiding and deceiving. There's two worlds. And one of the scriptures that really hit me when I first met Rick and Jean was, hide not yourself from your own flesh. And you know what I decided to do? Because it was the first time I ever really cared about what would he say if I stood before him. I knew Jesus would say, depart from me, I'm ashamed of you. And you know what I decided to do? I decided to tell Rick everything. I mean, if I'm going to go to hell, here's really who I am. I'm going to dump everything I've ever done, everything, you know. I came over one day and just let it all out. And basically what I was looking for... anyway, you can take it from there. I just wanted
so
to...
So just, you know... Okay, so there's a good little testimony of what does it mean to what?
Draw out yourself.
Draw yourself out. Draw out yourself to others and not hide from your own flesh. Not hide from each other. One thing else that came to me, there's so many things going on with Jump for Jesus that we don't even know about. So last night, Cece gets this email from this...
Sunrider. Big Sunrider lady.
She's not fat. She's
big in the business.
Big in the business. But Colleen Seaton, who's got thousands and thousands of connections that go all the way through her downline, all the way through her upline.
All across the world. I got another one from, these are international women in Sunrider.
So she punches into it. It's a picture of me coming, breaking.
I was going to delete it, as a matter of fact. I just never had deleted it, and I thought, I better look at it before I delete it.
So, she and Cece didn't have anything to do with this. It's a picture of me breaking through the wall.
Two pictures.
And a picture of me holding the Bible out. And it gives the whole testimony of Jump for Jesus and how Sunrider helps me. You know the article I wrote on the back of the little pamphlet?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, it's got that on it.
It'll probably make it to a couple million people across the world in the next month.
Yeah, and the emphasis was, of course, my age.
But, and you eat Sunrider.
Yes, yes. So anyway, it's really exciting about what's going on, how the Lord is using this little group of faithful people just who are not put off by small crowds and rejection and the hardships we've had, you know.
Well, we were talking about answered prayer. So, Spanky's kid was interested in buying that landing ramp. And so we were talking about that, and then he didn't call him back. And so we prayed about it as whether or not the Lord wanted us to get rid of it. And right after we got done praying, then Ed Beckley calls.
Yeah. I mean, and actually wants to use that trailer. is thinking about using that trailer. We got to tweak it a little bit. What did you say?
No, it's just when you were talking about the enzyme, that that we have, I thought about last week at Red Lodge, how we all have a measure. And that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, it says if everybody prophesies, then there comes in someone who doesn't believe or is unlearned. He's convinced of all and he's judged of all. And thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest, falling down on his face to worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. And I think that's why it's so important for us to be giving back what we hear for the sake of all of us, for each other. You know, I mean, that's a healthy body. We had that happen at work this week, you know, and you see that you can't be independent. And by exposing yourself to each other, it does help you, but it also helps other people and gives other people liberty to be free. So, I don't know. Just when you, I was hearing that message last week that we all have a measure. We got to be faithful to give that measure.
Well, not only that, I can't remember who it was that came over. Maybe Ellie, somebody came over. And they were asking me some questions about some things that troubled them. I got so much revelation. It was Deanna. That's who it was. Deanna calls me on the phone. And I was getting all kinds of revelation just because she called me on the phone because she was troubled about something. And I thought, you know, what would have happened if she never would have called me?
Right.
I never would have gotten all the great revelation that I had because she called. It's really how we need each other. There is that life flow.
But that we steal, right? There's a scripture that talks about stealing from the people of God by not giving. We're robbing, you know. We rob from each other.
Give and it shall be given to you. Those that don't give the revelation.
Thank you for praying for me for my surgery. I just wanted to tell you guys that the Lord is so near me and I have so much grace. It was just unbelievable. I mean, there wasn't a moment I didn't have peace. And the grace of God was just, it was thick. It was like you could just kind of open up, like you could just reach out and touch it, you know? Even down to my nurses, like, I had, I'd say, really, that I felt solid with Christian nurses and people doing my pre-surgical stuff, and then two ladies who weren't Christians, but I had a great time fellowshipping them, especially after the surgery because I was really high on drugs. But I mean, the surgery was good and everything, and the hardest thing has been not doing too much because I feel so good, and I'm so thankful that I got to go through the whole jump season. And I was struggling because I was sick. I didn't feel good during the jumps and all the traveling and all that. But it's like the Lord still gave me the grace to do it. And then when it was over, it was time to go.
I was thinking of soldiers
anyway,
in the
so
hall
much for your
of war. You know, the all part of the war. And what would happen if soldiers or captains just decided not to talk about how goes the battle?
Yeah. Too, John.
Just excited to the town and the people that we can touch and encounter.
I felt like John Wayne in the movie Cowboys going on the road with these kids, but herding his cattle. And the good thing about it is I didn't get killed this season. So we have another season before us. But John, I have to say that while I've played football and I understand all that, but once I was young, now I'm not as young. You thought I was going to say older, but I'm not. Martin can say he's older. Glenn can say they're older, but I'm not as young. But one thing you guys, and I guess the Lord wanted to do this. I wasn't thinking about it, but I'm gonna pray for you guys. There's something that's so important here for us to know. What we do,
you guys.
There's a scripture that says, whatsoever God does lasts forever.
Yes.
Okay? Whatever you do in service to the King lasts forever and will follow you. People say you can take nothing with you to heaven. I disagree. You will take every single work that ever you are inspired by the Holy Ghost to do, you will take that to heaven with you. And it will meet you in heaven when you arrive. The first ones to greet you when you go through the gates will be every single soul that you ever had anything to do with their salvation. They're the ones that are going to greet you. And they're going to say, hey, just as we will for them. Because we see through glass dimly. Our lives are cloaked and hid from us seeing the truth and reality of this place or the place that we're going to go live forever. That's only the eye of faith and the anointing of Jesus Christ, the resurrection spirit, and the dimension of the kingdom will let us see how important what we're doing really is. All the little unclean and demonic people, I've never prayed for so many demonic people in one place as I prayed for them all. Every single person I prayed for was even here in this prayer. Hard enough, everyone. And some of them I prayed for like 2 or 3 times. Like I said, this one girl kept coming back and she says, well, I guess I'm going to tell you I tried to commit suicide 3 times. I said, get over here. Third time I prayed for. So, don't think lightly of what you do. You might say, but I never laid hands on anybody this season. I never personally led someone to the Lord. I didn't speak to that many people. No, but you're numbered among the company. You're numbered among the saints. You're part of what makes it all happen. Whether you stay here, whether you go, it really doesn't matter. You're just as important to what we're doing and what Jesus is doing. And it will last forever.
Hey, Gene.
So, right. John, you guys come up here.
I have a scripture about that.
Why don't you stand up and read it, John?
And let's have Raquel and Esther and Sarah
single people.
Go ahead. It says, yeah, Kayleen, come on. Hide behind Alice, she did. Quit hiding from your own flesh.
It says, but now God has set every member, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, then where's the body? And now that there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be feeble, are necessary. And I was thinking about what Gene said, you know, well, I didn't lay hands on anybody, I didn't pray for anybody, but you were there, and you were a part of it. And then it says, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant to that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, and the main members should have the same care one for another. Whether one suffer, they all suffer with it, or whether one honored, they're all rejoice with it.
That's right.
So, this isn't just up for Jesus, okay? I didn't see you with the crew lifting up. Okay. This isn't just about jump for Jesus. This is a kind of a mindset and an attitude and a knowing that whether you're playing the cello, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're fixing hair, whatever you're doing, do it thinking and wanting to just please Jesus. Just please. That's it. And if that's a, you're going to eat this later, because I'm going to pray for you. Give me that.
Yeah, I take yours too.
Just thinking on earthly things. That's really the bottom line. Wanting to be pleasing, wanting to please him. And so I'm just going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask for an anointing of Jesus Christ to come on you for his service. That's all. Okay? It's that simple.
No, he said stand up.
Father, thank you for your
anointing. He said stand up. Luke, stand up.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that John will prophesy your word, Jesus.
Thank you. For God the other.
You know what? Noah came up to me and said, be sure to have Papa pray for Gabe. But Gabe went home, so you'll have to let Noah be the intercessor there.
Huh?
He has a broken leg.
Oh.
No, he fractured it. Oh.
Did
Papa
pray
for
But Jesus is healing the
middle. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Jade wanted to say something, but she had to go. We are just so thankful for you guys helping us out with dinners and stuff. It really blessed us. It was a little trying, you know, for a couple days, but You guys really did help, and so thank you guys. God bless you.
Okay. Go away.
Go away.
It's that shepherding. Well, I know that Glenn and Ellie here are looking for. They're asking the Lord for direction, and they're in a house, kind of a house situation. Their house in Phoenix that they bought now is worth like how much less than it was? Way less than half. So it's really a bad situation, but they're looking to the Lord. Maybe this is a move. They don't know, so we should pray for them and ask the Lord to direct them.
Yeah.
Give them wisdom in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Pray for the wisdom of God.
Yes.
Yes.
That is beyond our own understanding. And Father, for working miracles in their life.
Yes.
And for leading them and speaking to them. Letting them hear your voice.
Yes, Jesus.
Letting them heal and ask their body.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes. Well, amen.
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 From Martin and Joyce. And
okay, I get it.
Dies on Monday, and you never pray for
him. I'm being rebuked here.
Does that mean the rest of us?
Yeah, everybody else. We gave nobody else the opportunity.
No, because, you know, they're prayer greeds.
They're greedy.
They're greedy.
Greedy. You're not going to draw you're not going to draw your sub.
Yeah. Linda hurt her arm. No. It still hurts. She's hurt her arm.
Pray for
her. Okay. She's saying it's okay, but that's not what she said when she came.
Yeah, no,
then
I said it. I just
reheard
it again.
What you said 3 months ago. Oh, my gosh.
One thing I do want to say about the power of prayer that we all have, we've been having some powerful prayer meetings. And the Lord's been moving, and I think that's what's exciting, is what the Lord is speaking and doing. And one thing that we've been praying, we don't want to sit here all season with nothing to do. There's too many souls out there that need to hear the gospel of the kingdom. And so we're not praying to have a nice little winter of nice little teachings, because we already know what to do. We've been given the keys. We've been given everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. So we've been just having some powerful times. So we're praying that you won't even be here this morning.
Oh.
You need to go out there, because there's too much work to be done. We don't have much time left. And there's too many souls out there that are hanging in the balance. And so we pray for doors.
Well, what's kind of neat about this Ed Beckley thing is I'd be able to just kind of go in and do the thing and come back. Yeah. And it would be so... It would give me absolutely carte blanche to the whole operation.
Yes, yes.
And I think it would just be a great, great Jump for Jesus program. It's not that the crowd would get... But Ed might even have... You know, the thing that happened when we went and I prayed before the demolition derby?
Yeah.
So that was Ed's idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ed will probably have me do the invocation before every monster truck show, which has never been done.
Wow.
So, I mean, stuff like that is so...
Well, and even TBN, I don't know if you guys know that. I've been praying for 25 years to be on TBN. I know, that's the truth. And Harry's going to be on TBN live Thursday night. It plays again, and then after that it's going to go international. And then the next day it replays again. And so for him to have a platform on TBN...
It'll go around the world twice. And it'll go national twice.
Yeah.
And that's what my behind the scenes do, so, you know, it's...
More people watch this, though.
I think, you know, I don't know, I'm just so excited.
Hey, Dean, when is it?
October 20th.
You sound like us, Jesse. Well, sound like the old people. We're going to meet tomorrow at 10. Okay, great. What time?
What time is it air?
It airs at, I'm pretty sure it's 7 o'clock our time.
Honey, Jenny wants to say something.
I'll let you know if it's different.
Hey, Gene.
It's only 1 hour. Program starts at 6. There.
Honey, Jenny wants to say something.
As many of you know, my dad is here in Billings. He's at an assisted living situation. I go and see him most every day. Some days I can't get over there because, like yesterday, we were gone all day. We were walking every day, and his spirit was getting better and better. And then one time he started running with me a little bit because he used to be a runner. He started running when he was 50 and ran for 25 years. So it was something he was very familiar with. And he started running, and I said, okay, Dad, do you want to run now? He says, yeah, sure. And I said, okay, let's go. Well, then we went and got new running shoes and everything and got him ready, set up to run. He's 84, and he started running and was doing really well, but as part of his dementia and everything, he doesn't have a stop button. So he would run and run, and the last time we ran, he fell flat on his face and straightened himself up pretty well, but it was a huge setback for him. It was his spirit totally just went boom, and today I got a call from the assisted living place saying that he hasn't been out of bed yet today, and he hasn't eaten yet today, and I know that it's a season for him right now. I'm not sure. He doesn't have the wherewithal or the ability to get up and bounce back again. He always has been this way, or he relies on a lot of people to just boost him through it, you know. But I have to go over there today after this meeting and
maybe we should go see.
Well, that would be helpful. I don't know. I think it would be helpful, but just lots of prayer for a quick recovery for him, because he is. Even though his mind is, you know, going, and the doc said also, he says, you know, the more he exercises, the more the dementia will be put off. And he said there had been place times where dementia was put at bay, actually, because of exercise. So, and this is something that he really loves, something that he really is passionate about. He was so passionate about it. He logged every mile he ever ran from the day he started to the day he quit. And it was just something else to know. But that being said, he also has a spirit of defeatist. He has a spirit of depression. He has a spirit of no ability to stop when he's supposed to stop. There's just a lot of demonic things that are in his spirit right now. And just asking for a lot of prayer in that direction. See what we can see what